GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's latest proclamation bans travel to the United States from 12 countries, mostly in the Middle East and Africa.
The United States will impose full restrictions on entry from Afghanistan, Burma, Chad, the Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. The U.S. also imposing partial restrictions on entry from Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela. Alex Perche, ABC News, Washington.
The ban is expected to be challenged in court. President Trump directing his administration to investigate President Biden's actions in the White House, alleging aides masked what he said was a cognitive decline and casting doubts on the legitimacy of Biden's use of the auto pen to sign pardons and other documents. Israel has recovered the bodies of two Israeli-American hostages taken by Hamas in the October 7th attacks. Israeli airstrikes overnight killing more than a dozen people. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Hunt for Osama Bin Laden is a ratings jackpot for Netflix, but not to be outdone is the hunt for Michael J. Fox's guitar from Back to the Future. The film is about to celebrate its 40th anniversary in just a few weeks on July 3rd. As you may remember, Michael J. Fox's character, Marty McFly, famously played Johnny B. Goode at the Enchantment Under the Sea high school dance. Fox rocked the crowd with a red Gibson, which was never seen again. The team of guitar-searching showbiz mercenaries includes Fox, co-star Leah Thompson, Christopher Lloyd, who played Doc, and rock star Huey Lewis. They all appear on camera in a new documentary called Lost to the Future. You too can be part of this manhunt as they are making an appeal to the public to help in the search. Anyone with leads on the guitar's whereabouts can call 1-888-345-1955 or send a message to www.losttothefuture.com. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The crew beat the Reds.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers getting home runs yesterday from Jackson Churio, Isaac Collins. Daz Cameron hit one 437 feet into center field on FanDuel, Wisconsin.
They're now 12-8 against them.
3-2, hammered out towards left center field, and it is gone for Daz Cameron. That's his fourth hit of the trip, his first home run as a Brewer, and it's 5-1 Milwaukee.
The Brewers went on to win 9-1 over the Reds to take the series 2-1. Milwaukee's now beat Cincinnati 12 series in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Really proud of our club to respond the way it did. Really, really proud of it.
Golf, the AmFam Championship going on this weekend at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to, and to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Stricker with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses, and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
The show kicks off with Congressman Mark Pocan, who went toe-to-toe against Russell Vogt, head of the OMB, and ate his lunch. Don't miss our chat.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today right around 80 with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a late day shower or thunder shower and a high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans. And they help me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Mino and the Mayor.
Johnny's back on Thursday, and we'll welcome Joe Harlow to the show. He'll tell us about the upcoming Cheese Fest. Pat Tracy joins us from Discover Oshkosh, and you'll have another chance to win in our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
Guess what? We have got more smoke in our forecast for Thursday. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and glad you're starting your day off with us. Let me get you started with a little weather outlook here. It does look like we could see more patchy smoke starting to blow back into Wisconsin. Probably won't happen until this afternoon, but you may notice it. Otherwise, sunny skies on the way today. 77 are expected high. Then tomorrow, sunshine again, 75. Should be pretty calm as far as the winds. Saturday, if you've got outdoor plans, cloudy skies, but still pretty decent. 74 are expected high. And then more showers back in the forecast for Sunday. As usual, Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, stepping in with weather details in about 15 minutes. We'll be joined this morning by Cody Koster, one of the dairy risk management analysts with EverAg. He's keeping an eye on what's happening with the global tariffs and potential impact on movement of U.S. dairy. And we're also talking about a city I don't normally talk about, Chicago. We're not talking about football, but instead we're talking about their park system and the concerted effort that Chicago is making on improving their air quality, shopping local, and thinking about their citizens' health. Stephanie Hoff was in Chicago this week. She's got the details on the way. But first, we pivot and talk a little bit about the upcoming county fair season. Lots of livestock going to be moving crisscrossing the state of Wisconsin. Some of the livestock expos have already begun. But thinking biosecurity before those animals leave the farm, absolutely critical. Jeff Morris is our University Extension Swine Outreach Specialist. He's right now talking with families that are getting ready to exhibit at county fairs, for example, and reminding them about the biosecurity tidbits that need to come along with them.
You bet. There's a few really simple and easy things that anyone can do to help secure the health and safety of our swine herd and those of us that are around those swine. Simple as clean shoes and clothing. Clean your car or truck and your trailer. Use those disposable boots when you have an opportunity, when visit others' operations. When you get ready to go to the fair, make sure that all your equipment, as far as your buckets, water, or show box, feeders are all clean. And then when you get to the fair, use your own supplies. Don't be borrowing neighbors' feeders, buckets, and such, and just to try to limit the spread and anything that we might go from one place to the other. Some other things, and our showmen today are just incredible on the skill that they demonstrate with showing their animal. And one thing that we can do is just limit that nose-to-nose contact. So on the way to wash racks, on the way to show ring, on load-in and load-out procedures, just make sure that we minimize that contact with others.
Well, yeah, and in Wisconsin, some of our county fairs are what we call terminal events, which means the hogs will go to the show, but they're not coming back to the farm. They'll probably go to market immediately following that. And that was inspired to a large extent by previous situations we've had with hogs getting sick at the fair.
You bet. And in that case, that's a good practice for some counties. Now, other counties have adopted that they let you bring that hog home and let those young people have other opportunities. If it's going to state fair, if it's going to regional shows, if it's going to other national events. And if we do that, there are things we can do to make sure that when we take that animal home, that we ensure its health and well-being then as well. So when you get home, just make sure that you clean and disinfect everything. And then if you can't totally isolate that animal from the rest of your herd, make sure that you limit that nose-to-nose contact, just as you did with the others at the show. The other thing, and really important, is those first few days after you get those pigs that had been to a show home, make certain and spend extra time observing them and checking them for temperature, breathing, any loose stools or that thing. Not only the ones that you took to the show, but the ones that are pinned beside them that might be the, if that animal was used as a vehicle to spread some disease.
Well, and that's not to say that our farms aren't doing a great job with vaccinations, taking care of those animals. Obviously, you want to show them off because you did such a good job. But to your point, Jeff, every once in a while, something sneaks in that we didn't necessarily expect.
You bet. And it's one of those things where we just always have to constantly be on guard. And I like to think that Wisconsin swine producers do an incredible job for the health, well-being, and care of their animals. And we continue to do that and up that to where we minimize any possible events that we have. And just doing these little things can ensure that we stay at the top of our game and at the forefront of our animal well-being.
Jeff Morrison, studio with us. He's our University Extension swine outreach specialist. Show season upon us for a lot of animals across the state of Wisconsin, thinking biosecurity as you're going to that event and when you're coming home a priority. One of the reasons we're talking about this with Jeff is there's an upcoming educational opportunity for pork producers, no matter your vintage, if you've been in it for a while or if you're just brand new to it. Porcine Respiratory and Reproductive Syndrome. In the industry, we call it PERS for short, but that's exactly what it is. And Jeff, you have decided that in response to what producers have told you, I'm going to do a little bit of a refresher course on this. First, tell people what the porcine respiratory and reproductive syndrome is and when we in the pork industry really started to battle with it.
Sure. And it's been several years, and it's been one of those things that we struggle as an industry nationwide. And it is the single largest economic factor when it comes to the health and well-being of swine units. And just as the name implies, that it totally decreases the reproductive performance of those animals. We can't get them bred, so we have no pigs to farrow and to raise. On the other side of that is respiratory. That whole respiratory virus gets in there, and we have respiratory problems in hogs. We have severe issues from a growth standpoint, from a productivity standpoint, and from a carcass quality standpoint as well.
Is this contagious?
Absolutely. And there is vaccines that have some effect, some positive results. But a lot of people, if they get PERS, it's one of those things that's where it's a depopulation that unit and then restock and go again. But continually, just like we talked earlier, continue to do those biosecurity things to try to keep the virus out of your operation.
Now, when PERS shows up in Wisconsin, really anywhere for that matter, it's not always necessarily a headline-making experience. Sometimes people keep it very quiet. Has Wisconsin had a recent outbreak or anything that brings this back to top of mind?
You know, and Wisconsin is a unique state that we have. If you're moving swine in the state or bringing them into the state, whether you have to have a negative test for PERS and identify that, or you're going to have to get a test on your farm. So farms are constantly testing for PERS and another virus, PED, in our state. When we look at the prevalence, the best of our knowledge, we run about 3% of positive tests. So in a big part, you know, I feel pretty good that 97% of the pigs that we test are negative. But if you're that 3% that's dealing with a positive, it's real for you. And that's where we want to focus on when and if you have an outbreak, what do you do to minimize the impacts of your operation?
Coming up on June 17th from 12:30 until 3:30 at the West Ag Research Station off Mineral Point Road in Madison/Verona, Jeff is going to be putting together an educational forum to try to help pork producers specifically focus in on measures to prevent porcine respiratory and reproductive syndrome, PERS, from afflicting your hog operation. And again, you're responding to concerns from the pork industry of the state.
You bet. And we've done surveys and talked with, I feel like between myself and the Wisconsin Pork Association, we have a real good pulse of what producers are dealing with at the local, whether it's you've got one pig or 1 million pigs. And this swine health series that we start and then focusing on PERS first is one that gives real world help. you know, we're bringing in a Dr. Brent Pepin, who is a director of swine health with National Pork Board. He's nationally and worldly recognized as a source of PERS knowledge. And then one thing that we're doing as far as having that producer panel, where I'm going to have a couple producers that have actually dealt with the disease and let them share the initial from diagnosing it to dealing with it and to eliminating it and moving on with life after that positive test.
That is something that nobody wants to live through. But if you are trying to protect yourself, knowing what others have gone through can sometimes tighten your biosecurity realm just a little bit. Now, that's going to be at West Ag Research Station. For people that aren't going to be able to physically be there, are you recording it, Jeff? Is there a way they can get follow-up information?
The plan is we will have a camera there and record the event, and then we will be posting that on the Extension's Livestock Extension webpage as well as the Wisconsin Pork Association webpage.
Excellent. So, again, like we said, the dates, June 17th, 12:30 until 3:30 at the West Ag Research Station off Mineral Point Road, West side of Madison, Verona suburb now these days, talking about porcine respiratory and reproductive syndrome, PERS, its financial repercussions, the diagnosis of that affliction on your hogs, and what you're going to do after that. And like Jeff said, with real world experience at the front of the room to try to help you better understand how this can unfold and change your life pretty quickly. Happy to help promote that on June 17th. Like Jeff said, if you're interested in finding out more about what he's doing as our swine outreach specialist, just go to the University Extension Livestock Portal, because you guys have kind of put everything in one spot to try to help any livestock owner stay up to speed.
Yes, and as well as our Facebook page as well.
Yep. Excellent. Jeff Morrison, studio with us again. Like we said, the date, June 17th, and do check out their University Extension Livestock Portal for follow-up information. I'm PM Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Drop what you're doing because Appleton has a whole week of fun just for you. Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And you can enjoy an entire week of live local musician performances thanks to the 13th annual Appleton Street Music Week. June 9th through 13th from noon till 1, these musicians are donating their time to raise money to help support and elevate the community. And if you want to be involved, go to wgbw.fm and click events.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. J. Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
President Trump is unhappy with the organization that helped him pick his Supreme Court justices. Jim Santel will be here to break that down. We'll lighten it up in hour number two with some weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
is just amazing. From Ashford to Princeton, Belgium, St. Nazian, Slinger, Burlington. We've got Alto. We've got Friendship. We've got Brownsville. You know, and then, like I said, the Madison area, Fitchburg. It's just pretty cool to see how many people are really paying attention to the weather. And today, we're paying attention to the weather. It's not so much the temp or any of that, but that smoke is coming back around again, huh?
Yeah, there's an air quality alert in effect at least until noon today for all of eastern and southern Wisconsin. And if you're looking, where am I in southern Wisconsin? I'm including the Wisconsin Dells in that southern Wisconsin area and Wautoma, that part of the country, and the eastern part all the way up into far northeast Wisconsin. That's where that smoke is really laid in. And it's not going anywhere in a very big hurry either. You may actually see it. Certainly you're going to smell it. And what we're telling us is in eastern Wisconsin, you're going to tell the effects. If you have breathing issues or difficulties, you're going to tell that smoke's hanging on and being a real pain. Let's be honest about it. A cool front moved through and brought the rain we talked about yesterday. The amounts after we talked yesterday morning didn't amount to be much of anything, you know, a few hundredths of an inch extra. But that's all behind us now. We've dried out a bit. Weather radar indicating that there is still some rainfall, but it's way over to our east and southeast, Indiana, northwest Ohio, southeast lower Michigan. And then we look off to the north, very scattered light rain in far northern Minnesota and out around western parts of Nebraska. What's going on here? Well, the cool front that pulled through extends way off south, down toward Texas, back up toward the Four Corners area, and I expect a few disturbances. We'll be ejecting out of the southwest U.S. and trying to pull that front back north as a warm front. Each of those disturbances leads to a little bit of a rain chance. Could be some of the activity edging into Wisconsin later tomorrow, into the western part of the state. That chance of a shower toward the afternoon or into the evening hours, not going to amount to much. Trace amounts, maybe a tenth of an inch. There could be some of the activity around again later Saturday or Saturday night in the west. A little drier in the east for a day or two. I don't think we feel too bad about that. But I think statewide, then, that rain chance makes more of an appearance. And that will happen a bit later Sunday and into Sunday night. And that's when rainfall amounts will become heavier. And we start talking some quarter to half inch amounts Sunday and Sunday night. So a more wet start as we head toward Monday. Temperatures staying a little cooler with clouds and those several small chances of light rain. So we're not going to talk 80s for the weekend, more likely low 70s, upper 60s, and we'll be a little cooler as we start on toward early next week as well. I'll add that forecast right after this.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping. So not a bad day as far as temperatures are concerned, Stu. We just got to work around this smoke.
Yeah, the smoke is the biggest factor we have out there right now. And, of course, the air quality alert in effect until noon. And what I do expect is going to be some sunshine. Oh, I should mention in the east a little fog as well. Not going to stick around long, but more sunshine today. And we all start pushing up into the 70s. Far western Wisconsin still could see an 80 with the southeast and east breeze to only about 5. Overnight, a few more clouds build in, and that keeps those temperatures from really bottoming out. Mid and upper 50s for nighttime lows with light breezes. It's Friday, partly sunny skies that in the west then, that chance of a very scattered shower thunderstorm could develop by late afternoon. That's in western Wisconsin. Tomorrow's temps still up into the 70s, cooler along the eastern side of the state. Lake Michigan keeping us cool there, and winds become north on Friday. Saturday, partly sunny skies. Again, that slight rain chance late in the day in the west, Pam, and those temps in the low to mid 70s. With the southeast breeze, more likely later Sunday, we're going to talk about rain that'll measure up.
Okay, and more rain that'll measure up.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see how we manage through today and get those updates for you tomorrow.
All righty.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, keeping you up to speed on what's going on with the weather. And don't forget that talk text line is open to you, whether there's rain out there or not. I'd love to see your comments. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now take you to a recent conversation on Matinee on Air with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy?
And one of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, dozed, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers, and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that, because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles. You know, that takes a lot of those dollars away, directly away from the farmers, because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program is certainly connected to farmers.
Catch Matinee on Air live weekdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's latest proclamation bans travel to the United States from 12 countries, mostly in the Middle East and Africa.
The United States will impose full restrictions on entry from Afghanistan, Burma, Chad, the Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. The U.S. also imposing partial restrictions on entry from Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela. Alex Perche, ABC News, Washington.
The ban is expected to be challenged in court. President Trump directing his administration to investigate President Biden's actions in the White House, alleging aides masked what he said was a cognitive decline and casting doubts on the legitimacy of Biden's use of the auto pen to sign pardons and other documents. Israel has recovered the bodies of two Israeli-American hostages taken by Hamas in the October 7th attacks. Israeli airstrikes overnight killing more than a dozen people. This is ABC News.
The crew beat the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers getting home runs yesterday from Jackson Churio, Isaac Collins. Daz Cameron hit one 437 feet into center field on FanDuel, Wisconsin.
They're now 12-8 against them.
3-2, hammered out towards left center field, and it is gone for Daz Cameron. That's his fourth hit of the trip, his first home run as a Brewer, and it's 5-1 Milwaukee.
The Brewers went on to win 9-1 over the Reds to take the series 2-1. Milwaukee's now beat Cincinnati 12 series in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Really proud of our club to respond the way it did. Really, really proud of it.
Golf, the AmFam Championship going on this weekend at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to, and to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Stricker with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Wayne York, who makes the popcorn pick of the week. And then organized crime expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk about presidents and their connections to the mob.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We've been revisiting election denial hotspots this week, 5 years after the 2020 election.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today right around 80, with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a late day shower or thunder shower and a high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Annie Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential 8.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now bring you a portion of a recent episode of The Maggie Dawn Show, where Maggie sat down with economist Benga Adjelor, talking about what the impacts will be to rural health care with the current budget bill working its way through Washington.
Tell us what's at stake, what's currently baked into the budget reconciliation bill that will directly impact our rural communities and the health care that they can access when it comes to this $880 million in Medicaid cuts that's slated to occur.
What's happening with Medicaid, and the reason why this is such a big deal, is that they're cutting, you know, as you said, it's a massive amount, probably the biggest cut that we've seen in over 40 years, $880 billion. But the way that they're doing the cut is by adding work requirements and other administrative burdens to basically kick people off of Medicaid. If you're not, you know, if you don't have health insurance, then you're not, quote unquote, you know, spending money on health, then that's going to, you know, cause the quote unquote savings. And so the issue here is that insurance is important to help out with the hospitals. As the impact of these rural hospitals, that their financial viability a lot of time is based on Medicaid. And so I'll just throw out a few stats. So first of all, nearly half of all births in rural areas are financed by Medicaid. 47% of children are covered by Medicaid. And you know, one of the reasons why is that when people are using healthcare and they don't have insurance, the hospital still has to take care of them because that's what they do. And so you have all these uncompensated care costs. And just as a comparison, in states that expanded Medicaid, 3% of uncompensated care costs are for hospitals in states that expanded Medicaid. In states that did not expand Medicaid, it's over 7%. And so you see that now with this cutting the $880 billion and you know up to upwards of almost 14 million people becoming uninsured, that's going to have dire impacts for rural hospitals.
So if a woman is having a baby, what is particularly risky about this scale of cuts to Medicaid is that as we move forward, if these cuts are adopted, it will be less likely that that woman will enter a hospital during childbirth with Medicaid. And if she doesn't have Medicaid and doesn't otherwise have health insurance, the hospital, of course, still has to care for her.
You've been listening to a portion of a recent episode of The Maggie Dawn Show, which airs across the Civic Media Radio Network weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Find the full broadcast lineup at civicmedia.us/shows.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Pretty quick.
At this time of the year, Chicago gets a lot of people visiting, enjoying their lakeside beaches as well as their beautiful parks. What many will visit and miss are the biodiesel-fueled vehicles, keeping all those parks in place. Our own Stephanie Hoff was in Chicago earlier this week with the Clean Fuels Alliance. We're going to find out how they're doing on trying to source that fuel locally and avoid some of the international tariffs that everybody's talking about. Welcome back on a Thursday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. We also have Cody Koster, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, joining us live this morning. Find out how the markets are reacting to more conversations about not just tariffs, but shut off of human being access from around the world. Stick around for that conversation. It's all on the way on this, the fifth day of June. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day in 1883, William Horlick patented the first powdered milk in the world. He named his new product, which was supposed to be as a health food for infants, malted milk. His product went on to be used as a staple in fountain drinks as well as survival provisions. Malted milk even was included in explorations by several explorers for its sugar and nutrition. Horlick's malted milk, patented on this day, 1883. On this day in 1883, the first Orient Express leaves Paris. This is a legendary train journey that went from Paris to Istanbul. Still goes on today. I looked up the price for a two-bed small cabin. You're looking at about $3,800 for a two-day experience per individual. So the Orient Express still doing well with opulence today. On this day, 1968, Robert F. Kennedy assassinated. He was, of course, brother of President John F. Kennedy. He was attacked by a 24-year-old Palestinian in California. Robert F. Kennedy assassinated on this day, 1968. Happy birthdays to financial whiz Susie Orman, she's 74. Kathleen Kennedy, 72 today. And Mark Wahlberg, well, he turns a good-looking 54. And now you know. As I said, we were on the road this week in the Windy City visiting with the Clean Fuels Alliance about how Chicago has turned its full attention to fueling many of the trucks that they rely on for city services in the downtown area to biodiesel.
We could learn a thing or two from our neighbors to the south when it comes to advancing biodiesel. I was recently in Illinois and Chicagoland with the Clean Fuels Alliance of America looking at the whole chain of biodiesel production, from the beans getting dropped off at the plant to riding on a boat on the Chicago River that runs on biodiesel. The state has cost incentives for using biodiesel, and it's also helping advance sustainability goals. Michael Dimitroff is the manager of ART Initiatives at the Department of Natural Resources with the Chicago Parks District. I was curious how biofuels fits into his job title, and he says he's always been passionate about sustainability. Biodiesel was a natural fit in the Parks Department. Michael tells us just how much ground they have an opportunity to manage with biodiesel-powered equipment.
Park has 26 miles of contiguous lakefront. Embedded in that are 10 harbors. We've got 11 museums ensconced in the parks. We've got 600 parks, about 268 field houses, brick and mortar field houses. We have now total acreage is about 9,000, 2,000 of which have been converted to natural areas. So I think I mentioned for pollinators, indigenous plants, migratory birds habitat. And those are also great for carbon sequestration, right?
With that to-do list, I was shocked when you told me that you only account for just over 4% of the whole city's budget. But you're also the only department that's gone all in on biodiesel. Give me a sense of, you know, why that was important.
Well, it was important because when I was tasked with kind of getting the program up and rolling in 2012, that's when I started doing research on it, and that's when I realized how easy it was to convert, a plant oil into fuel. And then I was fortunate enough to come across Pete and Indigenous, and so he coached us on how that happened. We had an installer who worked on putting the tanks in, so when we repurposed the facility, it made sense to try to do the alternative fuel because we didn't have a large capacity and you can't get big trucks into our facility. So then it was like, okay, how do you do biodiesel, but it want to be impactful? So we had garbage trucks, we had lawnmowers, we got pickup trucks. Let's start with those and let's figure out how to make that work. And let's take those to the highest percentage we can get in terms of incorporating biodiesel. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So we've grown that program over the last 12, 13 years into sort of a pinnacle of using B100 fuel in a number of trucks. And I still think there's room for Chicago to do more on biofuels.
When you use B100 in your equipment, what exactly is getting that high blend of fuel and how does it do in the winter?
We have heavy Class 8 trucks. We've got 4 refuse trucks and 3 cab over forestry trucks. And so these are trucks that idle a lot. They need power, right, to run all their systems. You're putting a man and a, or a woman in a bucket to cut trees. You got to know the equipment's going to work. It's sitting at a stop, and it's running, and it's using power to run hydraulics. So you want to have the combustibility, you want to have the dependability, and you want to make sure it's running. And so once we got to the point when these, the B100 system is really, it's really physics. It's how to heat the fuel to optimum level, allowing that you have your normal winterization additives in there. And then at that point, it runs itself. It's just I call it an elegant system. The conversion kit is only like a box that's 4 inches by 4 inches by 12, and it takes the heat from the engine, passes it through with a proprietary pump, and then there's a probe that goes into the tank that heats the tank ahead of time. And so really it's all just warming the fuel to optimum temperature. And then it runs like it could be, like Pete said, it was 22 below the first day we started that thing up, and it ran all day. And so that was proof in itself. The other, one of the trucks, the battery went that day, but the system was running.
So you have the confidence in the equipment. What percentage of the park's equipment is running on B20 or higher?
We've got 55 units running out of our mid-central, we probably have 200 units, but only 55 are running because we're kind of regionally located. And so someone from the north side of the parks, which is 7200 north, could come past the station, fuel up, and go south, right, and vice versa. But we're now looking to do a couple other 1,000-gallon tanks, one on the south side and one on the north side.
Data from the Chicago Park District says it's saved people about $67,000 in healthcare costs by improving the air quality with biodiesel. Michael Dimitroff, along with us, manager of art initiatives with Chicago Parks. He wants to see the city of Chicago utilize more biodiesel across its fleets. Michael is also a big proponent of the B20 Club in the state of Illinois. This is a partnership between the Illinois Soybean Association Checkoff and the American Lung Association. It supports fleets running on biodiesel blends of 20% or higher. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve and make this your best season yet
with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
The 5th Annual Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival will be here June 13th through the 15th in Beaver Dam, and this year it's attracting an international audience. We're catching up with Michelle Ovens of Ovens Peony Farm in Beaver Dam. Her farm will be on display during the upcoming festival, and while her flowers are exquisite, there's even more to look forward to this year.
The reason why it's a really big deal this year is because the American Peony Society convention is being held during the festival. These members are coming from all across the United States. We usually have around three other countries represented, and there'll be thousands of peony blooms on display. The National Flower Show will be open to the public, free. They'll also be putting on seminars. They only come to Wisconsin once every 8 to 10 years.
Learn more about the upcoming Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival and Michelle Ovens Peony Farm at gowiagtourism.com.
Cody Koster with EverAg just around the corner on a Thursday morning. Markets in overnight electronic trade so far a little bit mixed. July corn, that's up 2.5. December new crop up 2 at 4.46. July soybeans are down 2 right now. November new crop down a penny at 10.24. July wheat, that's up 3, currently at 5.47. Yesterday, the barrel cheese was up 0.25 cents, 1.84 1/4. 40-pound block cheese unchanged at 1.93 3/4, while AA butter gained 6 to 2.56 a pound. On a Thursday morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 19 cents at 18.70. August down 19 cents currently at 18.99 a hundredweight. What is happening with that dairy complex? We're finding out next. Talking with Cody Koster, one of the dairy risk managers with EverAg, joining us live in just moments on the Midwest Farm Report.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Emily Mills will join us from the recombobulation area on an intriguing story about AI and its effect on the environment, as well as what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Prices that have been going in the opposite direction for a while and seem to continue be going that way. I just had a story on about how we're coming up on county fair season, that type thing. And, livestock are going to be moving. Boy, we have got some very high valued young livestock out there that just keep setting new highs as far as their value. You're watching it too, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, Pam. There was a sale, I guess, in the industry late last week in the Southeast, and the heifers down there still bringing $4,000 a head.
Wow.
For first lactation animals, and that's kind of the norm that we've started to hear throughout the country. I mean, I think you could honestly say anywhere between $3,700 to $4,000 for some of these heifers is where the going rate is right now. And with the shortage of heifers that we've seen lately, I honestly think these prices could probably inflate from where we sit exactly where we are right now in the near future.
And you don't have to wait for them to be close to breeding age or ready to calf. Even baby calves, like wet navel baby calves, are incredible.
They are. I mean, I've heard anywhere throughout the country between $950 to $1,200 is the highs that I've heard so far on these Black Angus calves, and that is at a day old. And it has literally become a bidding war. I mean, guys have told me that companies have stopped by and said, we will start paying you X for these animals, $1,200 at day olds. And again, just like with the heifers, that is not going to stop anytime soon. We need to fill up these feedlots. There's people that need these animals, and it's only going to get more expensive as we go down the road.
Is there a new sector I'm missing in the dairy industry or maybe the beef industry, Cody? I mean, we've had calf ranchers, you know, those that take the young babies and grow them up. But boy, with this kind of changeover, is there a new segment that's growing in the dairy industry that maybe I'm not even paying attention to?
I don't know if it's so much of a new segment. I just think it's just kind of caught everyone off guard on how expensive some of these prices have gotten and how much beef the world is actually eating as far as protein goes. And if you look at the heifer shortage, it kind of makes sense as we roll forward. If there's less heifers to produce milk and a lot of them are getting bred more to the Angus type animal, I mean, there's folks that have said, hey, we can make a lot of money, more money off of some of these cows, these heifers that are going to calve. You're talking almost $6,000 by the time it calves. So you sell the heifer and the calf right there, and you've made quite a bit of money off of two of those animals right there.
Have we noticed any new trends? I know the report comes out later this month, but are we noticing any difference on milk production trends? When those calves or heifers come out, Cody, the milk production theoretically either flatlines or goes down. Is that what we're seeing?
We have not seen that yet, but I believe that this is all going to kind of come to a head. You might have to wait until September, October, getting into quarter four type time frame for this to really happen. But when we do see it happen, I think it's going to be a spiral. And when we see that flat line of milk production, the next month you see lower, it's going to be like, okay, now everyone's catching on and we're seeing the ramifications of breeding differently than we have been for the past 10, 20 years in a row.
Well, and we don't turn that around on a dime. And we're not the only ones. It's not like the United States is an island in this production trend.
Well, exactly. And that's I had a couple conversations this week, actually. Folks over in Europe, and they said they are starting to do exactly the same thing. And so if you look at it holistically going forward, and you think the United States has been doing this for, let's say, 2 years now, and then Europe is on board, maybe they've been doing it for a year. You want to talk about a global milk production problem, let's say, of having less milk. This is what could lead us to that in the future. And I think you're starting to see it overseas, even with the global dairy trade that we just saw on Tuesday. I mean, their cheese price, if you look at the mozzarella cheese price, came in at $2.22. Look at our block price at $1.93 yesterday. I'm not saying at $1.93 we're going to export a whole lot of product, but as people have probably seen the past 3 days, we've really started to slip lower in futures. Cheese has had a little bit of a downward slide. You start taking our cheese price to $1.80, and I think those exports ramp back up. But right now, we're literally chasing the EU's prices on some of these products.
Cody Koster is joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. He is a part of the dairy risk management team at EverAg. You can find them online, ever.ag. Got about 45 seconds left, Cody. So when we talk about how these prices are moving, what are you watching and what are you expecting to keep an eye on for the next, let's say, 4 or 5 days?
I think, you know, right now I'm looking at butter. Overseas, their butter price, $3.54 a pound. We are at $2.56 a pound, and that is correct, $3.54 overseas. So we're almost a dollar discrepancy. And if you think about how cheese and milk is going to move, a lot of these milk facilities are going to start putting some of this fluid milk into cheese, and that butter price could really ramp up for us also and take off to the high side.
Interesting. Very good. Appreciate catching up with you, my friend. Hope you're on the rotation again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam.
All right. Cody Koster joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. He is, again, a part of the dairy risk management team with EverAg. See all their services online, ever.ag. Tomorrow morning, we talk about county fairs again. We'll see you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-To for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Eat beans, live longer and healthier. Find out why today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Dry beans are part of the pulse crop family, which also includes peas and lentils, and they don't often get the respect they deserve. The U.S. is the fourth largest producer of dry beans in the world, according to Juan Osorno, a professor and bean breeder at North Dakota State University. North Dakota is the top dry bean producer in the U.S. as well, and Osorno touts dry beans as a great source of iron.
Anemia and iron deficiency is the number one non-infectious disease worldwide. It affects 1.6 billion people. And this is not because you're not getting enough iron, but because the inflammation factors lead to having less iron absorption as well.
Osorno's colleague, Shauna Zeman-Bolinski, says dry beans have other impressive nutritional benefits as well.
Epidemiological studies, how things affect our bodies overall, showing that consuming three or more servings of legumes weekly is linked to a 26% lower risk of heart disease, an 8 to 15% reduction in colorectal cancer and type 2 diabetes risk. Also an increase of about 4 years total in life expectancy.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
The Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
It's Pride Month, and Northeast Wisconsin is blooming with opportunities to celebrate. Dana Johnson with Fox Valley Pride and Mel Davis of Rainbow Alliance Advocacy will be our guides.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We go to a place and you can just, we actually reserved it already, but they got, even they got the swan. You know what I mean?
I don't know. What is a swan? What do you mean?
Well, it's hard plastic.
Todd's got a smirk on his face. He has a comment.
Okay, so I've seen paddle boats.
Right?
Are you talking about one that's actually built like a swan?
Yeah.
I want a picture of that. That'll be my Facebook page.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump signing a proclamation banning people from a dozen countries from entering the United States.
The recent terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, has underscored the extreme dangers posed to our country by the entry of foreign nationals who are not properly vetted, as well as those who come here as temporary visitors and overstay their visas. We don't want them.
The president making his announcement on social media. The ban affects people from countries mostly from the Middle East and from Africa. The president saying he'll block international students who have been accepted to Harvard from entering the United States and ordering his attorney general to look into whether the Biden administration sought to conspire to cover up Biden's mental state while in office. Israel has recovered the bodies of two Israeli Americans, a couple in their 70s, who were killed during the October 7th attacks. The husband and wife's remains were found in Khan Yunis in Gaza. This is ABC News.
This is your local